I'd like to speak this morning for a few moments about a topic which, in the world at large, is not very often spoken about. It's a word, it's a concept which seems too abstract, too distant, maybe too complicated, maybe too scary for people to talk too much about. And even in our worlds, we're not so focused sometimes on this concept. Yet, this concept seems to be the theme of these days of Elul. And the concept that I'm referring to, I guess in its most succinct form, is our relationship with our Creator. The Jews' relationship with Hashem. Relationship with Hashem. Now that sounds for many people very confusing. I understand relationships. I understand relatives, okay? Those people are related, blood relatives. Then I understand relationships in terms of friendships. You know, I have a good friend. I talk to him. He talks to me. We communicate. We go out. We have a good time together. We do things together. We spend time. We enjoy each other's company. We share things. We help each other. I understand that's what a relationship is about. But what could we possibly be thinking when we talk about a relationship with Hashem? And I'd like just to spend just a few moments to try to focus on that, and then maybe hopefully to build on it at a future occasion. In the name of the month Elul, as we all know, is hinted this concept. The Rosh Tevis Aleph Lamed Vov Lamed, we are told, is stand for Ani Lidodi Vidodi Li. I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. And that specifically, a quote from Shir HaShirim, from Shlomo HaMelech, is referring to the nature, the dynamic of our relationship with Hashem. He's beloved to me, I'm beloved to him, and him and me, we're tight. Ani l'doidi v'doidi li, the Pasuk says it the opposite way too. Adoidi li v'ani loy, says in another place, ani doidi li v'olai teshukosoy. He is to me, and upon me is his desire. He's desirous of that relationship with me. What could this possibly mean? But before we even do that, let's analyze for a moment why we have such trouble with this relationship. Why is the concept of a relationship with Hashem seem so foreign to so many people? And I think the answer is really very simple, and also to be discovered in Shlomo HaMelech's Shir HaShirim. Because the problem today is that Hashem deals with us behester ponim. He's hidden. Since the Golus, since the Churban Beis HaMikdosh, since the destruction of that place which was known as the Mokem HaShoras HaShechina, where the Shechina dwelt amongst Klal Yisrael. So we don't see open miracles. We don't see what we saw in Mitzrayim. We don't see what we saw on the Yamsuf. We don't see the miracles that we saw in the Beis HaMikdosh. We're in Golus. And Hashem is behester upon him. And he promised us in the Torah that when that Golus will have to take place, because mipnei chatoenu golinu miartzenu, because of those things that we mistakenly did wrong and therefore had to be sent out of Eretz Yisrael, that he will be v'honoichi haster astir ponai mehem. I'll hide my face. Now, hiding the face does not mean that I'm not active. Hiding the face does not mean that I'm not watching. Hiding the face does not mean that I'm not involved. It's just you're not going to see it. Not only will you not see me, and I talk, I have no face, but you won't even see openly, directly, blatantly my involvement, because the Golus is behester ponim. Shlomo HaMelech tells us something very interesting about the hester ponim. He says that Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, he's mashgiach min hachaloinois, meitzitz min hacharakim. I'm peeking through the windows. Maybe it's the one-sided glass window where he could see in and we can't see him. I'm peeking through the crevices, the little crevice in the wall where you can't see me, but I'm peeking through and watching you and taking care of you. And that's the truth. Because in the 2,000 years, close to 2,000 years of Golus, the survival of the Klal Yisrael has been so miraculous, has made so little sense logically, that we should be here today doing and acting and performing the same mitzvahs and reading from the same Torah and studying the same Gemara. It's something that boggles the minds of every wise person in history. Rabbi Yankov Emden swears in the Hakdomah to his Siddur by his life, and he says that the miracles that have allowed Klal Yisrael to survive and the Torah to survive with us, and that's without a homeland and being chased from one place to another and never having peace of mind for almost a moment, he says, are greater than all the blatant miracles that happened in Mitzrayim and that happened on the Yam Suf. Greater miracles. So there are greater miracles. Hashem's involvement with us is nothing short of miraculous. But it's behester ponim. We don't see a sea splitting and enemies bobbling up and down and drowning, and we're walking through at the same time on dry land. We don't hear Hashem speaking to us at Har Sinai, and an entire nation hears Hashem speaking directly to them. But we see His hand, the Yad Hashem. The face, so to speak, is behester ponim, but the Yad Hashem, the hand of God, is active. He's active in all of our lives. He's active in the life of Klal Yisrael, and He's active in the lives of each and every one of us. Any one of us who'll stop to think for a few moments and just, like, what's going on in my life? What happens here? Tell me. Let me look. Let me pay attention. I'll say, of course Hashem is involved. He does hidden miracles every moment of the day. Look, I guarantee, if you'll spend a few moments looking between now and Sunday morning, wow, look, that almost passed me by. Well, what happened yesterday? I never realized. I never thought of it that way. Never forget, I once was a taxi driver in Israel. A Holocaust survivor was once complaining to me how he's angry at Hashem and all the tragedies that took place, and he's very bitter and so forth. And I asked him, I said, how did you get out? Because he was obviously a survivor. And he told me a story of miracle after miracle that was mind-boggling. And I sat there and I said, wow, that's amazing. That's miraculous. Look at those miracles you saw. And he looks at me and he says, you know, I never thought of it that way. Never paid attention to it. Pay attention and we will see the Yad Hashem. He's involved in every aspect of our existence. But we have to look. We have to pay attention. Then there's something else. Well, but I don't feel for him. You know, I don't speak to him. He doesn't talk to me. I talk to him every day. I don't see him answering, which is not true. Oftentimes he answers even before we talk. He's provided our needs. He takes care of our everything, every aspect of our lives. He is providing for us. If not, we wouldn't be here for a moment. And I don't feel it. I don't feel it. I just don't feel it. What do you want? I don't feel it. I don't feel it. I love. Hashem loves me. I love. Heck, come on. Relationship about love. Not for me. Shlomo HaMelech again tells us that it's not true. That each and every Jew throughout the Golus has in his heart that loving relationship with Hashem, that love, that desire to be close to Hashem, that wanting to connect with Hashem, that wanting to communicate with Hashem, wanting deep down to do that which He wants from us, to forge a deeper and a more bonded relationship. We don't see it. We don't feel it. Once again, we have to open our eyes. We have to pay attention. And we will see the most amazing things. The story is told that Rabbi Chaim Berlin was a rav in Moscow. This was, you know, probably more than 100 years ago, when in the time of the real, you know, when they were was forbidden for a Jew to do a bris milah, to do anything. And once in the middle of a night, some Jew, it must have been some army officer or something, comes banging on the door. You know, no yarmulke, not a religious person. And he says, Rabbi, I want you to come with me in the middle of the night. We had a baby. I want you to, he was a moel, Rav Chaim Berlin, I want you to do the bris. And he schleps in the forest through the middle of the night. like, you know, going, he follows the man, he's going to do the bris. In the morning, I guess by the time they got there, he does the bris. And he asks him, he says, Reb Yid, he says, I don't get it. You're not religious. You put your life on the line. You made me come in the middle of the night because if they'd catch you, they'd kill both of us. And you're not even religious. What are you doing? How come you're ready to sacrifice your life for this mitzvah for your son when you yourself don't perform anything? And this officer told him something very profound. He says, you know, I'm not religious. I probably never will be. And in this environment in Russia, I doubt that my son will ever be either. But if someday he wakes up and he wants to return to the fold of the Jewish people, I want it to be easy for him. I want him to be ready. I want him to be a full-fledged Jew who entered into that bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu so he can feel comfortable rejoining the rank and file of Klal Yisrael. A Jew has no shaykhis, far away. He does no mitzvahs. He doubts that his son will ever do any mitzvahs. He's in an environment where you get killed if you do the mitzvahs, and he is completely okay, forgot about it all. He doesn't care. He's not religious. He's not practicing in hiding as some people did. But he has it deep in his heart. So deep that it took a son to be born to bring it out. And what did it bring out? It brought out Mesiras Nefesh, the willingness to give his life, to put his life on the line, to make sure that in the unlikely event that his son will ever want to return, that he'll be comfortable, he'll be able. And for that, this totally irreligious Jew, who if you asked him, do you have a relationship with Hashem, he would have laughed in your face. You know, some people say they have a relationship with God. They say, he doesn't bother me, I don't bother him. You know, I didn't even know if he had that kind of relationship. I said, but yet, it's deeply rooted in each and every one of us. If we'll do a little bit of soul searching, we'll see that love of Hashem. We'll see that craving for Hashem. We'll see that desire to connect with Hashem, that desire to interact, that desire to speak, that desire to rely, that desire to be his desire to be his best friend. It's there. It's real. It's a real, truly, maybe deeply buried emotion. So the good news is that relationship with Hashem is alive and well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very connected with us, but hiding, peeking in through the cracks, and takes care of us over these 2,000 years of Golus to make sure that we survive, but peeking through the cracks. And we, no matter how cool, cold, remote, distant we seem to feel, we have that connection with him as well. We want it. It's deep down. Everybody wants it. We respond to it. Sometimes under the strangest circumstances, Jews wake up and say, I gotta change my life. I gotta come back to Hashem. I gotta reconnect because it's deeply buried. It's there. Sometimes it takes some slight incident. Sometimes it takes a major upheaval in life. But something happens and that relationship comes out and we reconnect with Hashem, who's always been loving and caring for us despite all of the years that it's been behester ponim. Therefore, I would like to suggest that in these days of Elul, as we prepare for the Yomim HaNoiroim, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, maybe the best form of preparation is to try to rejuvenate that relationship. Pay attention to the extent with which Hashem is involved in our lives. And pay attention, catch glimpses of that love and that feeling and that connection that I feel deep down. When something is deeply buried within us, sometimes it's hard to see, but if we watch out for it, we'll see it. Watch out for his involvement in our lives. Watch out for our concern and caring and connection to him. And we'll find that that relationship is there. And then in these days of Elul, we can expand that relationship. That relationship can grow. It can become something that we become consciously aware of. And we will be so much more prepared to stand in front of Hashem on Rosh Hashanah in the time of judgment of the whole world and to say, hey, you know who's judging me today? My best friend, And that can make all the difference.